Hey, Dr. Mike here. Why is everybody talking about Ozempic and Wegovy, these new weight loss drugs? Well, stick around and we're going to tell you why.
You're listening to Live Foreverish, a show dedicated to helping you live just a little longer. Here's your hosts, Dr. Mike and Dr. Crystal Gossard.
All right, welcome to Live Foreverish. Dr. Crystal, GLP-1 agonists. Ozempic.
Everybody wants
Wegovy.
It.
There's
it's
actually,
in demand.
There's more than just those two. There's a whole bunch of them out there.
Right, right. Yeah,
but that's what they are. They're called GLP-1 agonist drugs. They have emerged as game changers in, number one, not weight loss, controlling blood sugar for people.
Well, that was the original purpose.
Right. And then, yeah, and some weight drops off. So then everybody got excited, right?
Mm-hmm.
Clinical trials show they also result in a 20% reduction in cardiovascular events and death. So these are, listen, there's a good reason we're talking about the Ozempics out there, GLP-1 agonists.
But they're, as you mentioned, they are not new. I remember learning about this way back when. And when I say way back when, we won't talk about dates. But back when I was earning my master's degree, we've always known that, obviously you learn about these hormones and these peptides and how the body regulates food intake, satiety,
right.
That's a big part of the nutrition field. So we've always known about these hormones that's made by the digestive tract.
Right. Well, let's talk about what they are. Like you're getting right into it. So let's do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What exactly is, first of all, let's even back up further.
Okay.
Forget the agonist part right now. What is simply GLP-1?
It's a peptide. Peptides are smaller pieces of protein, and they're just made up of amino acids. So you kind of connect these amino acids through a peptide bond. Getting into chemistry a little bit.
She's going back to her master's.
And depending on the size of or that chain of amino acids, you either have a peptide up to about 50 amino acids.
But if it keeps growing, then it becomes
larger than that.
Yeah.
It becomes a protein or a polypeptide.
Right, right. People probably have heard of peptides more like with collagen peptides. Huge,
yes.
Right?
They know it's the collagen.
Collagen broken up in these little pieces.
Exactly.
That's all it is. So that's what peptides are. So GLP is this peptide. What does it do?
So it's increasing satiety. It's released in response to a meal. Fun fact, fiber increases it.
Fiber is now a fun fact.
And so it's telling the body that, hey, there's food here. And it also slows gastric emptying,
mm-hmm.
of which can be beneficial for blood sugar levels,
right.
Because the sugar is going to the bloodstream slower. It stimulates the release of insulin.
Right. That was the original research.
Yeah.
Was looking at things that could increase insulin naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they found and discovered all these little peptide type things.
Mm-hmm.
And so right there, you're releasing more insulin. You're eating a little bit less. Sounds like a great thing for a diabetic.
Yeah. And it's talking to the brain as well.
Well, look at that.
You know, as a hormone, it's telling the brain, hey, there's food here. And so now you can stop telling me to be hungry.
Yeah.
Because there's food present.
And we just did a whole show recently. Where I don't know. Wait. I'm getting ahead of myself. The
okay.
estrogen show. We talked about hormones, how they're messengers. That was a live show we did. I keep forgetting. It was a live show, right?
Yes.
Life Extension Live. We talked about hormones as messengers.
Mm-hmm.
They bring the body into harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially GLP-1 is doing that when it comes to when you're eating. It's helping you realize there's food. We gotta do something with this sugar.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to eat right now because we got enough food in the belly. It's that kind of stuff.
Yes. And so these hormones bind to receptors. And the receptors for this hormone are located in different areas of the body. Again, they're located in the pancreas to tell the pancreas to make the insulin, in the brain to tell the brain there's food present and you should stop eating.
Yeah. Well, so the teaser, well, you heard the teaser, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, so why is everybody talking about this? And we're going to tell them why. Because the research is pretty good. At the end of the day, the research
mm-hmm.
is pretty good. So the first area of research that I want to talk about, obviously, is diabetes, because it was the original reason these agonists. So we just talked about what GLP-1 is, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. The drugs now are agonists of this. They act like the GLP-1s and can bind to those receptors.
Exactly.
Right?
That's what they're doing.
So first area of research is in type 2 diabetes. At this point, there are several studies, several meta-analyses, mm-hmm, pulling those studies together, mm-hmm, to show they work. At the end of the day, they lower blood sugar, lower hemoglobin A1C.
Right, which is a measure of your blood sugar over 2 to 3 months. And so it's definitely a game changer for diabetes. I would like to say a lot of people know it as the injectable drug, once weekly, but it's also available orally for diabetes. Yes.
We're about to change the subject and get into weight loss. That's where it gets different. Mm-hmm. But back for a diabetic, you're right. These really did become game changers. A lot of the original insulin stimulators we had out there, the mm-hmm drugs that did that, there's a significant of diabetic patients that were resistant to those drugs, and mm-hmm you weren't getting the results that they needed. Mm-hmm. They were having to do more and more, and eventually many of them just went on to insulin.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And then these came along and we're seeing less of that. We're seeing more people being controlled with these GLP-1 agonists.
Right. I think the big thing with people who are dealing with diabetes is controlling their intake of food. So something that can control the intake of food is also controlling how the body manages that intake of food.
It's not just diabetics.
It's a miracle.
We all need to look at how much we're eating, right? We've said this a lot, that one of the big issues, there's a lot of issues with the standard American diet, but one of the big things is we eat too much. Portion control, right? That's, you've said that before.
But, you know, here's how I look at this as well, though. Often we just say, you just need to eat less. And people assume that it's a lack of self-control, or this person doesn't have discipline. And what's also happening, there is the biochemical perspective that there are hormones, there are these chemicals in their body that's telling them to eat, or that's not turning off that sense. And so it's not just as simple as pushing away the cake when all you hear in your brain,
when the brain is
cake, or the body is saying, I want this food. I need this food. So it becomes very challenging to eat the right things.
To eat the right portion size.
Or the portion sizes, right.
Yeah, no, I get that. That's a good point. So at end of the day, game changers for type 2 diabetes. No doubt about that. Now, okay, they've been used quite a bit now, mm-hmm, right? They have a long history of use, work well, relatively safe. In type 2 diabetics. And then out of nowhere, it kind of feels like that, right?
But not really. Life Extension has been talking about this. I was looking at some of our research. I mean, early 2000s, we were writing about, oh, goodness, it's on the way. There's research underway. You know, Life Extension, we stay ahead of the game.
We do. No, there's no doubt about that.
Our protocols.
But my point being is it's when the big media people pick it up. It's like all of a sudden, you mm-hmm know, oh, there's a miracle weight loss thing out there. Mm-hmm. But we've already had, prior to, like you just said, we already had the data that it helps people lose weight, mm-hmm, for many years. So let's talk about the weight loss research that's out there. What's impressive to you?
Well, what's impressive is the amount of weight that's lost, or that the research is showing. In 68 weeks, you're seeing reductions in 15% in body weight compared to 2.4% in placebo. And so what that translates to in this particular study, and this is a trial of non-diabetics with obesity,
mm-hmm,
And in these individuals, it corresponds to about 34 pounds of weight loss in the treatment group.
Listen, 15% of your weight, you're seeing a lot of benefit, not just looser clothes. You're seeing big time metabolic benefit. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, didn't we already report something? I think Life Extension Research had reported that even just 5%.
Oh yes,
weight loss has significant benefit. 10% even better. 50% even better. So it's the weight's coming down, but you're optimizing your metabolism.
That's what you're doing. And so hopefully it helps you. It can be kind of the added bonus to help you stick to a healthier eating pattern.
Yeah.
You know, because this is not, in no way am I saying this is going to, excuse me, replace diet, replace exercise.
We never say that. We can't, because that's just not true.
But people, we have to put that disclaimer out there because, you know, people see these drugs as miracle drugs, but you will gain the weight back.
You have to make lifestyle changes.
This is going to help you in that process of making those lifestyle changes. Yeah.
I like the way you said that. That was really good. But there's a lot of people out there, you know, what do they call them? The Hollywood weight loss thing now, where, as a matter of fact, did you know this? That for the first time in pharmaceutical history, a pharmaceutical company, the one who makes Ozempic, I can't remember. Anyways, they had a commercial during the Academy Awards, because a lot of Hollywood people are doing this,
asking
them not to because they're running out of supply for diabetics. For the first time in history, a pharmaceutical company said, don't use our drugs. That's pretty amazing. So that's another point I want to bring up. It's not a fad diet thing.
Right.
You don't, you know, I guess a lot of people were just wanting to fit in those dresses and those fit in those dresses and the tuxes or whatever, right? And so they saw this as, oh, I could do this for, you know, two or three months before this a big event.
Yeah.
Please don't do that, because what you got to remember too, these drugs are life-saving drugs for people with type 2 diabetics, and there is a short supply.
Yeah.
Just something to think about.
I agree. I mean, you see it offered at different med spas now. Yeah. And people are willing to pay the big bucks for it.
Yeah.
It's not cheap.
And end of the day, though, you know, this was all about, you know, are these, you know, what's the deal with these Ozempics and Wegovys? Well, they are the real deal. There's great effects on blood sugar, great effects on hemoglobin A1C, excellent weight loss results, at least in obese people. So, yeah, there is some pretty good science behind it. One last thing was a reduction when these drugs are used, a reduction in cardiovascular events.
Right. Well, you know, it makes sense to me. Not surprising, because overweight, obesity, diabetes, we know those are risk factors for heart attack, stroke, and other cardiovascular diseases. And so we do see that when you manage both, it translates into better risk profiles.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the Life Extension magazine that goes out monthly, I think this was in the May 2024.
Yes.
They said here rates, and I'm just confirming what you just said. Rates of cardiovascular disease are much higher in those with poorly controlled diabetes and or excessive body weight. It makes sense that by controlling blood glucose and reducing weight, GLP-1 agonists could also lower cardiovascular risk.
Yes, and just to give you some more specifics, two trials designed specifically to test cardiovascular effects of these drugs found that type 2 diabetics treated with semaglutide,
In Wegovy and Ozempic, right?
Yeah. Has a remarkable 21% and 26% reduction in risk for major cardiovascular events, including stroke and heart attack and death.
Just
from cardiovascular causes. And so that's in type 2 diabetics. But you also see similar results in individuals who are not diabetic. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in that research, we're still kind of waiting for some of those results. But preliminary research is preliminary data is showing a 20% reduction in cardiovascular events and death. So we're going to keep our eyes on that, because a lot of people, this is how people are getting it. If you, so when you look at the for weight loss, you have to have the elevated BMI and one cardiovascular risk factor. So if you have elevated BMI and high cholesterol, you're a candidate. Mm-hmm. Elevated BMI, high triglycerides, you're a candidate. This is like the official prescribing guidelines.
Right.
So we do know you have that risk factor along with the elevated BMI. And so when you get the BMI down, then the cardiovascular risk comes down.
Yep.
But
makes
let me just make one other point that I found humorous. So, you know, I went to the PriMed conference. And it's the place where the primary physicians are get continuing education credits. And so there were lots of presentations on many different areas of health and fields of medicine. And I would say over half, maybe 3/4 of every presentation, all roads led to these drugs.
Interesting.
I was shocked.
Wow. Yeah.
I said either they are sponsoring something's happening. But you're finding kidney disease. I mean, so many different areas, hypertension, kidney disease, not just cardiovascular. I think I went to a talk, maybe it was on lung health, but I mean, everything, they're just saying that, that these medications, what it means is that if you can get yourself in a space where you have a healthy BMI, mm-hmm. that's decreasing inflammation. Get the diabetes down. You know how damaging blood sugar is in the body.
Yeah.
Eye health. If you can control blood sugar, you're helping eye health.
It makes sense. And we've talked about this before. So in this study with non-diabetics, we've said in other shows that whether you're diabetic or not, we all need to think about insulin. We all need to think about the sugar and how it's affecting us. And so even in a non-diabetic, it makes sense to me. You're just having better control. Maybe right. your control of sugar and insulin is okay, but now it's just better.
Mm-hmm.
Your BMI is coming down, so better insulin control, better glucose control. BMI is coming down. Yes, you'll see then the net effect across the body. Kidneys, eye, heart, probably the big ones.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow, that's impressive.
Oh, and brain.
Right. Oh, we got to keep that one going too. Yeah. So, you know, there's a good reason why we're talking about GLP-1 agonists. They have caused a buzz in the medical community, even though they've been around longer than most people mm-hmm. know. They're just really coming now into light. More research is now happening.
Yeah.
We're seeing more pretty impressive results.
Should we talk about side effects?
Well, you can. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we do know they have a decent safety profile. They've been used for many years in diabetics.
Yes.
Yeah. I think mostly it's gastrointestinal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The big one, especially if you're doing this, if you really don't need this drug, you're just trying to lose some quick weight. The one thing that doctors are concerned about is something called gastroparesis, where you're not emptying at all anymore. There can mm-hmm. be almost like a paralysis mm-hmm. in your gut. But other than that, overall safety profile, I think is good, pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there something specific you wanted
No. I just think, to give just a fair overview,
yeah.
I think it's important that, you know, I don't want someone to listen to this and then they ask their doctor for an answer. Well, Dr. Mike and Dr. Crystal never said that I would experience this.
I am very confident in saying good safety profile, because they have been prescribed thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times over the years to diabetics without much problem. Mate, that's a good record.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, there you go. GLP-1 agonists. I think we're going to learn more and more. You know, I think this is, and we're going to do a show in the near future just on peptide therapy in general.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see more and more research around peptides, not just the GLP-1, But there's all kinds of peptides in the body doing all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Skin issues, joint issues, anti-aging. So I think a show on just peptide therapy would be awesome.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just to give, again, from a food perspective and nutritional perspective, fiber helps to support GLP-1. Lean protein helps to support GLP-1. So if you're just trying to think, well, you know, or what are things that I can eat that can...
Define lean. This is a good question. How do you define lean protein?
Protein where, like, if you have chicken, if you're making chicken breasts versus chicken wings or chicken thighs, which are really fatty.
That's the best one.
if you're buying, you know, ground turkey versus ground beef, you find turkey is like 97% of the fat has been removed.
Yeah.
Or even if you have ground beef lean, or going with a bison, which is leaner,
good.
Right? Or grass fed, because we know the corn is all about developing the marbling in your steak.
Yeah.
So get a leaner cut.
Ooh, but marbling's so good.
So that's what I mean when I say lean protein or plant-based protein. Of course, that's as lean as it can.
Right, right. No, I just care, because I think we hear that, because we hear a lot of words like lean protein, eat less, eat more lean protein.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think we just got to remind people what that is.
Yes,
that,
and then a cool plug for maki berry, delphinidins, which is an antioxidant from maki berry, can stimulate GLP-1.
So maki berries.
Yes.
I've never had a maki berry.
They're kind of like blueberries.
Little, are they bitter? Most of the berries that are true super
bitter, just a little more tart.
Well, you know, but bitterness tends to. I don't know. I'm making the correlation that bitter things are kind of good for you at the end of the day. I remember you know how they used to take care of like kids' bad stomachs and stuff. They would give them a little bit of bitters, you know, that you put in drinks.
Yeah,
and it helps. Yeah.
For immunity too, right?
Yeah.
The bitters.
The bitter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was kind of a little tangent, but that's fine. GLP-1 agonist. Pretty good stuff. Look for more research, I'm sure, coming out soon. And on peptides in general. And we'll do a show on that. All right. Mm-hmm. Dr. Crystal, thank you so much. That was excellent. Don't forget, you go to lifeextension.com, where Life Extension would like to say thank you and offer you a discount. So you go shop. Whenever you're ready to check out, use the discount code PODCAST, and you get 10% off, $50 or more, plus free shipping and handling. And then you can also go to liveforeverish.com, where there's ton more episodes for you to download, like, share, and subscribe, so you never miss a show. That's liveforeverish.com. I'm Dr. Mike. That's
Dr. Crystal.
Thanks for listening.